Welcome once again to our session on the life of Christ. We're coming to the very end, but it's still not too late to order your book. And with that book also comes the map that we are following through the chronology of the life of Christ. So let's just look for a moment what we're going to be covering this week. We're going to start here where they come from Bethany to the upper room. From the there is the new covenant instituted, the upper room to Gethsemane. The high priestly prayer as they go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, his prayer in the garden, Jews' betrayal in the garden, from Gethsemane to Annas' house, from Annas to Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin, his trial, Peter's denial, from Caiaphas to Pilate's hall, from Pilate's hall to Herod's palace, back to Pilate's hall, second trial before Pilate, he's mocked and scourged, Pilate's hall to Golgotha, where he is taken out and he is crucified. And this gives us the events that happened during the 6 hours he is on the cross. At his death, he's taken to Joseph's tomb, where we have the burial and the tomb being made secure. So this is the area that we're going to be covered. And the map that I gave you in the book is this map right here, so that you can trace as they come from Bethany right over here to Annas's or to the upper room. And on the map that you have printed there, I notice that there's no 56, which should be right there at the upper room. So if you want to make that correction on your map, I encourage you to do so. This is a long chapter, and we've got a lot to cover, so let's get into it. This is chapter 11, the Passion Week, Thursday through Saturday. The chapter will cover the Passover meal, the upper room discord, the trial, condemnation, crucifixion, and burial. So we're going to start with Bethany back to Jerusalem. They're going to the upper room. This is on Thursday. We have the preparation for the Passover meal. And this is a reenactment of the exodus from Egypt by the blood of the Passover lamb. And the followers, two of them were instructed where to prepare the meal and make ready for the celebration. And then we have the Last Supper, where Jesus said, "I desired to eat this Passover meal with you before I suffer." And he deals with a little controversy that had arisen among the disciples of who was going to be the greatest. And Jesus, you know, assures them the standard for greatness among them will be their servanthood. And then we have the washing of the disciples' feet. And Jesus takes a towel and water and gives them a living example of a servant leader. He said, "You call me teacher and Lord, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." And then there is the revelation of the betrayer, where Jesus said, "One of you is going to betray me," and Judas, you know, is sent out to do his work. And then Jesus' warning about desertion reminds them that the hour of his glorification is drawn near, and the true sign of discipleship is going to be love. He tells them, "I am going, but you cannot come." And Peter says, "Lord, you know, I'll lay down my life. I want to go with you." And the Lord just reminds him. He said, "Peter, before the cock crows three times, you are going to deny me three times." And Jesus reminds him of Zacharias' prophecy, "Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." And Peter protests again, "Lord, I'll follow you even if it's my death." And, you know, all the others agree to do the same thing. and now at the feast he institutes the new covenant. And I want us to look at that quickly in Jeremiah 31. Behold, the days are coming, saith the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their father in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they break, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write it on their heart, and I will be their God. They shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his brother, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquities, and their sins will I remember no more. Under the new covenant, the meaning of Passover celebration is broadened and fulfilled by Jesus' death for the sins of the world. Jesus is represented as that Passover lamb. The sacrifice of the Levitical system derives their meaning from their prefiguration of his death. Jesus takes, you know, the bread and says, this is my body which is broken for you, eat it. He takes the wine, this is the blood of the new covenant which is shed for many for the remissions of sin. He commands his disciples that they are to enact this in remembrance of him on a regular basis. And then we have the upper room discourse, and only John gives us this discourse. And it deals with their fears because he is going away, and he said, I'll prepare a place for you and come again and receive you unto myself. And then he begins outlining the ministry of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will be given to them. And in here, I want us to look at that ministry of the Holy Spirit. He says he will abide with the believer forever in 14:6. The Spirit of Truth will dwell with the believer in 14:7. The Comforter will teach the believer and bring all things to their remembrance that Jesus has said. That's in 14:26. And at this point, they depart for the garden, and Jesus teaches them, I am the vine, you are the branches, he that abideth in me, and I in him, the same will bring forth much fruit. And their obedience to his commandment is the key to their abiding. And he tells them, I have called you, I have chosen you, and I have ordained you to go and to bear fruit. And God will provide everything that they need in terms of their mission. Then Jesus tells his disciples and continues on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Father will send the Holy Spirit. He is the Spirit of Truth, and he will testify of Jesus. That's in 15:26. Before the Spirit can be sent, Jesus must first depart. That's in 16:7. The Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's 16:8 through 11. And guide the disciples into all truth. That's 16:13. And he will reveal to his disciples the things which are to come. And that's 6:13, and will glorify Jesus by explaining his teachings to them. That's in John 16:14. The disciples, you know, fail to really comprehend what Jesus is saying to them, but Jesus promised that they will soon ever understand everything. He has come from the Father into the world and must soon return. The world will rejoice, even though they will be great sorrow on their part. Though they desert him, you know, God is with him. And then we have Jesus' high priestly prayer as he prays with his disciples on the way and asks Father to glorify him. And then he begins praying for his disciples. and the work that they are going to be involved in while they are upon earth. And it's interesting that in those 21 verses, 40 times he makes reference to them and to their ministry. And then Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. When they arrive there, Jesus takes Peter and James and John and asks them to come apart and to pray with him. And in the garden, he prays, "O my Father, all things are possible for you. Take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." And he comes back and he finds the disciples sleeping, and he encourages them, you know, to watch because they're going to enter into great temptation. And he goes and prays again, comes back there asleep. He tells them to pray. He goes, and when he comes back the third time, they are still sleeping. And then we have the betrayal and arrest. And this probably takes place between about 1 and 3 o'clock in the morning. And Judas arrives with the temple soldiers, and he's given them a sign: whoever I kiss, this is the one that we're after. And so he betrays him with a kiss. And when they try to arrest Jesus, Peter, you remember, pulls out a sword and wants to, you know, take them on. And Jesus has to rebuke Peter. And he said, you know, "Shall I not drink of the cup which my Father has given me? Or don't you think I could pray and that God, you know, would give me 12 legions of angels?" And so at this point, all of the disciples flee and run off and desert him. And then from Gethsemane, the soldiers lead them away to the house of Ananias, and Ananias questions Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. And Jesus just told him, he said, you know, "I said nothing in secret. If you want to know what I said, then go and ask those people." And at that point, one of the guards reaches out and slaps Jesus. And Jesus, you know, said, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, then, you know, what right do you have to strike me?" And then from Annas, they go to Caiaphas, the high priest, and to the Sanhedrin. And this is where we have the examination before Caiaphas. And he produces witnesses, and all of those witnesses, you know, have conflicting testimonies. And so they don't get the charge against him that they were looking for. And Jesus is asked, you know, "Are you the Christ?" And he replied, "I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power, coming with the clouds of heaven." And Caiaphas tears his cloak and says, "What further need? This is blasphemy." So when Jesus, you know, confesses that he is the Christ, they take that as blasphemy, and he says he is deserving of death. And the soldiers, you know, begin to spit in his face. And at this point is where we have the denial, because Peter has followed the group of people to stay close and to see what is happening. And three of the people recognize him and confront him, you know, "You're one of his disciples." And he says, "No, I'm not." And somebody says, you know, "Yes, you are, because you've got that Galilean accent, you know." And he said, you know, "I'm not." And then the third time when they confront him And the minute, you know, that he denies him the third time, Jesus looks at him and he hears the cock crowing because he said, you know, before the cock crows, you will have denied me thrice. And then we have the final condemnation before the Sanhedrin. At daylight, the Sanhedrin convenes. This has been a proceeding that has been taking place illegally at night, and now they want to legalize their proceedings. And so from 6 o'clock until 6:30, they do that, and they ask again, are you the Christ? And he simply says, it is as you have said. And they said, you know, with this confession, you know, he is worthy of death. And at this point, we have the death of Judas, who has betrayed him. He comes back and throws down his coins before the priest, and I've sinned against innocent blood, and he goes out and he hangs himself. And then, you know, from Caiaphas' palace to Pilate's hall, because they could not legally put Jesus to death, because the Romans are ruling at that time, they bring him to Pilate, who is a Roman governor. And Pilate, when he Jesus is brought, summons him and asks him, are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus said, you know, are you speaking for yourself, or did somebody else tell you this about me? And he asked him, you know, are you a king? And he said, yes, I am, but my kingdom is not of this world. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. And of course, Pilate wants to know, well, what is truth? And Pilate returns Jesus to the religious leaders. He said, you know, I find no fault in him. And the leaders say, but he stirs up the people, you know, all the way from Galilee to here. And Pilate realizes that Jesus is from Galilee, and so trying to get himself off of the hook, he said, let's send him to Herod. He's the governor of Galilee, and he's here in the city. And so from 7 to 7:30, we have from Pilate's hall to Herod, and Herod is absolutely delighted because he's heard about the miracles that Jesus performs and hopes that he will get him to perform a miracle. He asks him questions, and Jesus just simply refuses to say anything to him, so he's mocked and sent back to Pilate. And from Herod back to Pilate, this probably takes place about 7:30 to 8. There is the second trial, and again, Pilate says, you know, I didn't find anything. Herod didn't find him. I'm going to take and chastise him and release him. And this is where he is beaten within an inch of his life. And he is ready to let him go. And the crowd is piling, crying out, you know, crucify him. And he says, well, you know, we have a custom that at this feast I'm going to release, you know, one prisoner. Do you want Barabbas, who is the murderer, or Jesus? And they cry out Barabbas. And so Barabbas is released, and he said, well, what shall I do with Jesus? And again, they cry out, let him be crucified. Pilate has, when he returns from the beating, you know, they put a robe around him. They put on him a crown of thorns. And the crowd continues to call for his crucifixion. Pilate takes Jesus back inside, and he says to him, where are you from? Jesus remains silent, and he says, don't you know I have power of both death or to release you? And Jesus just simply says to him, you have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. And Pilate once again tries to release Jesus. And the crowd said, if you let this man go, you're not Caesar's friend. And whoever speaks against Caesar is his enemy. And Pilate says, behold your king. And they cry out, you know, crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. And Pilate calls for water, and he washes his hands of the own of this. And, you know, he says, his blood is upon you. And they say, yes, let his blood be upon us and the children. And so we have the Roman soldiers who at this point are mocking Jesus before they lead him out to be crucified. And then from Pilate's hall to Golgotha, this takes place from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, and they strip Jesus and prepare him for his crucifixion. He is weakened by the beating that he has received, and as he goes, the women are weeping, and Jesus, you know, says to them, daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourself and for your children. And Jesus refuses the drug wine when they finally get to Golgotha, and there he is nailed to the cross. And this takes place at 9 o'clock in the morning. And once they have him nailed to the cross, they put him between two thieves, and you know, the crucifixion begins. But here is where we have Jesus' first words from the cross: Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And here they gamble and divide his clothing. Pilate has a sign, you know, King of the Jews, placed there, and the priest object. Pilate says, what I've written, I've written. The crowds, you know, continue to blaspheme Jesus. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. And the chief priests, you know, cry out, others he saved, but himself he cannot save. And even one of the thieves on the cross rail against him, and the other says, you know, we're here because of what we've done, but this man has done nothing. And we have his second words, you know, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And then we have his third, where he commends his mother, woman, behold your son, and his mother to John. And then there's the great darkness that comes upon the face of the earth from 12 to 3, and he cries out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, or my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And then later in the afternoon, I thirst. And then finally he says, it is finished. And Father, into your hands I commend my soul. And at that moment, down at the temple, the veil is rent from top to bottom. There's a great earthquake. The saints come out of their graves, are raised from the dead. And the soldiers say, truly, this was the Son of God. They take him off of the cross. They lay him in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and prepare his body the best that they can for his burial. And at that point, they finish, and he is placed in the tomb. And then on Saturday, Pilate secures the tomb and has it sealed, because they said on the third day he said he was going to rise from the dead. And so during the rest of that time, they prepare for his embalming. And then in conclusion, on the eve of his death, Jesus explains the Holy Spirit will be sent to indwell his disciples, empowering them to fulfill their roles as ministers of the gospel. The sign of bread and wine at the Passover meal is fulfilled in Jesus' broken body and his spilled blood.